Hey now, welcome. Welcome to the Cardinal Standout in Your Career podcast presented by the Alumni Relations Office. I'm Nick Taylor, the Executive Director of Alumni Relations here at Saginaw Valley State University. Today, I'm really excited to welcome a very close friend, someone I got to know very closely over the past 2 years as I transitioned to Alumni Relations. I want to introduce Lindsay Maynard Richardson. Lindsay is the Director of Development here locally at the Bay Area Women's Center. So welcome, Lindsay. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you for that nice intro. That was so warm and lovely.
I even admitted that you're friends.
Yes.
I know.
I think it's safe to say that.
Okay, yeah. Good. No. So for those of you who don't know Lindsay out there in alumni land, Lindsay was our outgoing alumni board president here. Mm-hmm. So thanks again. We've had a meeting since you've left and it wasn't the same, but we got through it. It's okay.
Thank you for that. That feeds my ego in the most positive of ways.
Awesome. Well, today's topic, you know, we started this podcast with the thought of how can we help alumni develop professionally out there? And one of the issues, one of the questions that came up was all about involvement in the community, right? As maybe as part of your profession or even a little extra, you know, extracurricular outside of your profession. And when that topic came up, I was like, oh, I know who to talk to. I know who's out there. Somebody I see at almost every event out there in the community. And it's always a great time. But I want to kind of pick your brain and talk about how can our alumni within their own communities go out and become more involved. So let's start. You know, a lot of people say that they want to be involved in their community. Starting at the basics, so very, very basic, how would you maybe define community itself?
I mean, should we ask Webster that question? Am I the qualified one to answer that?
I think so.
A community to me is just a group of people living and working together. And that's the very basic definition. And then it builds from there. There's common goals, there's services that are built, you know, products that are sold, groups that form. But just that very basic, people living and working together. And when you throw in the common goals, that's when more things build from there.
Yeah.
That's community to me.
So talking about you, can you maybe take us through a little bit of your personal journey? What motivated you to become more involved in your community and ultimately leading into the profession as well?
I have always been involved in the community. Growing up in a small town, it was almost impossible to not be. Just by walking down the street, you were involved in the community because somebody says, hey, you're John Maynard's daughter, right? And then it forces you to be a bigger part of the town that you're in. So high school provided a lot of opportunities from a small school, not as many people to do the sports and the academics. So I was able to experience basically anything that I wanted to starting in high school. And then taking that to college, everybody told us through all the tours, through all the orientations and everything, get involved. Yeah. And I didn't know how it was going to happen with schoolwork and work on top of that. And it just did. You just kind of fell into places where you fit and ended up with groups, you know, in this community at SVSU, you find people that are very similar to you and you end up in different groups around campus. So athletics were important to me. Community involvement was important to me. Alternative breaks was a really big one for me and the club dodgeball team, being involved in those. And then I got involved in the greater community outside of SVSU in slow pitch softball leagues and volunteering in the community. And that led me to my first internship at SVSU, which was in a nonprofit back in the thumb. So I went to the career services office. I wanted to get an internship for credit for my courses. And the man I met with, Jeremy Bockelman, he's not here anymore. Every chance I get to say his name, I always do because I credit him for starting me on this career path. He's like, I know a guy in the thumb. You're from Marlette. I know a guy who lives there and he runs a nonprofit. I can hook you up with an internship there. And that really started me on my path. So then the next year when I came back, I was applying for a paid internship position at the Saginaw Community Foundation. And that kept me going. I've not left the nonprofit field since then. And with nonprofits, it's so important to have a network and be involved so that you know what the needs are in the community, but you also know who's out there who can fill the needs of the community. So that's, you know, anywhere from, you know, Lions Club, Rotary, or getting involved in the chamber, mm-hmm. all those sorts of things lend themselves to community involvement.
What I like about your story a little bit is, you know, you say you started from that high school perspective. Okay, I got to get involved. Mm-hmm. We've all been there, right? Please sign my sheet. I need 20 hours in mm-hmm. order to get this, you know, right? And it kind of, I almost feel like that's the hook for a lot of people. They get in and they kind of see what happens. Then there's people like myself who have a wonderful wife who works for the United Way here in mm-hmm. Saginaw County, and I get voluntold a lot of things, and mm-hmm. I got to show up to help support her. And but what's amazing about it is then you kind of learn about some of those other opportunities. Mm-hmm. And you said it a little bit about network. Can you talk about your network and how you find other opportunities to help connect people in volunteering in their community?
Mm-hmm. In networking, I'm a social person, and I always mm-hmm. have been, and especially back to those small town roots, everybody knows everybody. So then when you go to a new place and you're a small fish in a big pond, how do you get to know those people? So building that network, it's huge to know people who you can reach out to if you come across an obstacle in your life. Sure. It's always better if you know a plumber when something mm-hmm. goes wrong with your bathroom, you know? Mm-hmm. So building that network is, in the nonprofit world, it's such a crucial part of the work that we do, because if something happens at your facility, you need to know a guy to get right. somebody to come and help you out, because they're going to understand what your agency is going through and help you get the best rates on things. And then personally, just knowing people in the community, it helps bring more people to your nonprofit agency. Mm-hmm. It helps you identify other opportunities in the community, whether it's for funding or awareness activities. We exist in a bubble when we work in a nonprofit. We get so focused on our issues. For me, it's mm-hmm. domestic violence and sexual assault, that it's hard to look outside of that
yeah.
and see what else people are facing. But we know that our clients are working with lots of other agencies in the community. So we need to be networking with them so that sure. we're better meeting the needs of our clients and better meeting the needs of our agency as well.
You know, you talk about that and having that kind of that sole focus. Mm-hmm. And I think people definitely are going to be more willing to volunteer and put in time into something that they're passionate about, mm-hmm. right? Could you maybe talk a little bit about when you see folks coming to the Bay Area Women's Center who are trying to help, mm-hmm. you know, what are some common challenges they might have, right? What are some things that they might not be prepared for when trying to be involved with a nonprofit?
So from the volunteer end, when
sure.
people,
yep.
yes.
Absolutely.
When people are coming to us, it's usually because they do have a vested interest, like you said. There's not yeah. a lot of people who are seeking out volunteering opportunities with us who don't have someone in their life who's experienced domestic violence or sexual mm-hmm. assault. There's usually a personal tie to it. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that if you don't have a personal tie to it, that you can't volunteer with us, because right. believe me, that passion will grow. Mm-hmm. I joined the Women's Center because of the opportunity and learned so much about the issues that I'm sticking around, because mm-hmm. it's a passion for me now. But volunteers, when they come to us, there's a lot of misconceptions that people yeah. have surrounding our specific issues. And I'm sure other agencies face the same thing. There's sure. a lot of opportunity for education. Our society perpetuates a lot of harmful stereotypes around the experience of survivors. For instance, we've all heard the so-and-so is in an abusive relationship. Well, why doesn't she just leave?
Sure.
That is incredibly harmful, and that's mm-hmm. victim blaming. And we have to do a lot of education around that. And when you're talking the sexual assault side of things, well, what was she wearing? Or she deserved that.
Right.
And we can't continue with those comments, because that's keeping these issues going in our society moving forward. And it's keeping survivors feeling like they're held back and like there's no help out there for them. Like there's people that don't. There's not people out there that want to provide that support for them. And a lot of our volunteers are pretty compassionate people, but mm-hmm. there is still a lot of room for education mm-hmm. there, because then they're vested in what we're doing and they're going to go talk to their friends about it too. Mm-hmm. So it's all part of spreading that message and creating that education. That's such a huge part of the work that we do, but it's not funded by our government agencies. Mm-hmm. So it's a really hard component, right. but it's arguably the most important part.
Yeah. You know, something you said there really resonated with me about the education, but learning more about the topic at mm-hmm. hand. You know, a lot of your volunteers come in with some type of experience, whether it's mm-hmm. family member or whatnot. One of the things that I really appreciated, you know, last year we had a chance to come in mm-hmm. at part of our alumni relations office. We like to highlight once a quarter and do a volunteer project. We got a chance to come and help you with one of your fundraising mm-hmm. Efforts. And what I learned from that experience was that there are lots of ways to help.
Absolutely. Right?
If I'm contacting the Bay Area Women's Center, you know, there are different ways in which I can make a difference. Mm-hmm. For me, I don't know if you remember, you guys, I built shelves and yeah. I was, I loved it. It was something that I enjoy to do. I like being handy with my hands, but just knowing that it to be able to see the impact, mm-hmm. even though I wasn't dealing directly with the issue at hand, I was helping the organization as a whole. Mm-hmm. Could you maybe talk about some of the different ways in which you can see people helping not just your organization, but other organizations? What types of community service would we be talking yeah. about?
Everybody has a skill that they can share. Yeah. We all have things that we're good at, and maybe they're really niche things. But those of us at the agencies, we're skilled in mm-hmm. picking those out and figuring out how that's going to help support our agency and support the clients that we are serving.
So what was it? How did you decide that I was going to build shelves? I'm just joking.
You wanted to build the shelves, so true. I didn't make that decision. But trust me when I say those shelves have been a game changer for yeah. us. That room has never been so organized, and good. Getting our events together and, you know, raising that money from those events, yeah. those shelves have been a really huge help for us. And they've, you know, changed my life at work personally, just to have those there.
Thank you. You're making me feel better already. But yeah, sorry, and I didn't mean to yeah. cut you off, but we're talking about those different areas. I think it's really crucial that people understand mm-hmm. that we all have gifts and there are ways in which we can help organizations in our own manner. Mm-hmm. Are there any other examples that maybe you've seen are somebody might not realize, you know, that mm-hmm. that's their gift and that they really could, you could use their help in that way?
There's volunteer opportunities for every level of person, every interest level of person. We have one volunteer who, she's our go-to if we ever have a small project that needs to be done. She's reliable, she's there, and she loves to mow the lawn. And I don't think it's anything other than the fact that we have a zero turn because we have a lot of property and she just likes driving that lawn mower. And it's just as simple as finding what you like. I mean, mm-hmm. we have people who in the past were teachers or were yeah. therapists or even pharmaceutical sales representatives, and they actually work on our crisis hotline. So they're taking calls from the community. Yeah. They're working with survivors to find them housing, to get them to our shelter or that's get awesome. Them to our other services if that's what they need. They're one-on-one interfacing with our shelter residents to help meet their basic needs. And that can be, if you're a people person, that's something that can work really well for you. But if you're someone who maybe just likes things to be clean and tidy and you just like to be mm-hmm. organized, we have a donation room in our basement that is set up like a retail store. Mm-hmm. So shirts by size, pants by mm-hmm. size, it's all there on racks and shelves. And we have a volunteer that helps us down there. She used to work in retail and takes pride in keeping mm-hmm. everything in good shape and in nice order. And she loves working down there. She just doesn't have enough time to commit to it because as soon as she clears out one bag of donations, seven more fill its spot. Mm-hmm. But she's done such a good job getting a good base for us in that donation room that it's easy for anybody to fill it in. So, I mean, those are just a couple examples. We have one person, she just likes to serve, mm-hmm. and mowing the lawn is what she likes to do, but she does help with mailings and just anything sure. else that we need, she's there. And then we have people, mm-hmm. yeah. therapists, teachers, you know, service people that can operate the hotline. And then just anybody else kind of fills into the bucket of the donation room or other miscellaneous needs that we have. Mm-hmm. There's always something that comes up that we need volunteer support for. Yeah,
that's awesome. And it's a great point, I think, that you make in that there is something for everyone. And mm-hmm. almost every organization has those needs at some point, whether they're through a paid position or mm-hmm. through volunteer help. Speaking about the people,
yes.
okay, one of the things that I've noticed, and tell me if you've noticed this as well, is that it becomes a lot easier to go and make a difference if you bring somebody with you.
Right? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. How, you know, what strategies can people use to encourage their friends or family to also get involved with them in whatever it might be that they're volunteering for?
Well, if they come and experience themselves first, what their mm-hmm. what the job is, what the agency is, and you get that tie to it personally, then they can share that experience with friends and family. That's easier to get more people involved rather than just, hey, I've never done this. Come with me and do it with me too.
Right.
I mean, that's, you know, that's a cold call. Nobody likes a cold call. But if they come and experience it, and they don't even have to commit to anything. Volunteers, if they're interested, can come and take a tour. They can sit down with me or our other staff and talk about what we do and talk about what our survivors are facing and the services that we provide to them and just get a feel for the agency. And that's a really good opportunity for them to take that information and share it with their friends and family. And it's one of those things, it doesn't have to be our agency. It can be another agency. The more you learn about it, the more excited you're going to be about it. Hopefully it doesn't go the other way. But the more you know, the more you can tell other people and get them to be just as excited as you are. And especially when you're doing the work, we do mailings and we physically fold the papers, stuff the envelopes and seal them. It's tedious work. And if you're by yourself, it's boring as all get out. I've done a lot of mailings myself. And bringing a friend, it just makes the work go so much faster. You've got someone to talk to, someone who's working for a common goal with you. And there's a lot of work that we have around our agency that two people are better than one. And the impact that you make, you can see it immediately, especially with that, the mailing or cleaning the donation room or cleaning up our acreage. And having someone along with you, having that shared experience, even if they only come with you once, even if they only volunteer once, it's something that you can lean back on. And it gets, it's kind of the bug. Yeah. You get bit by volunteerism and you want to keep doing it because it feels good to do it. And you're providing a tangible value to those agencies, regardless of what you're doing. If they told you they need your help in this area, believe me, you're providing value to them because that would take a staff member X amount of hours to do when they could be doing something that's, you know, better serving our clients directly.
You know, you kind of touched on that point of, you know, getting there and seeing the impact. I suspect, and it's kind of leading into my next question, that seeing the impact helps you as a volunteer, but also you as an organization to keep that long sustained relationship with some of those volunteers. You know, being able to see what you do really matters, right? Allows that person to kind of come back and continue those efforts. Are there any other ways, any other steps or ways in which your organization or other organizations that you know about plan or strategize on help keeping volunteers over a sustained amount of time? And as me as a volunteer, is that something I should be looking for?
And that's something, as a volunteer, if you want to provide the most value for an agency, longevity is huge because we've trained you, especially for us. There are some agencies that the work that you're doing, you can come in off the street, say, I want to volunteer, and they'll put you to work right away. And that's incredibly valuable for them. Other agencies like ours, because we're working with survivors of crime, we have to be a little bit more stringent with our rules. We have a whole application and background check that we have to do because our survivors, they have the right to confidentiality and they have the right to be in a safe place. So we have to make sure that the people working around them are safe to be around them. You don't want to put a survivor of crime in front of a perpetrator of crime. That's just not a good situation. And then we do have training for all of the different areas of volunteerism that we have. So especially if you're working in the crisis hotline, you have to go through 40 hours of training before we can let you go and operate the phones, because it's not just answering a phone. There's a lot of other things that happen. How do you handle these scenarios? How do you interface with our shelter residents? How do you provide empathetic care? All that kind of stuff requires that training. So for an agency like ours, if you're able to volunteer, if you're able to provide regular time or be like at a moment's notice available, that is huge for agencies to be able to rely on that. We have one volunteer. I've been at the Women's Center for 7 years now. He predates me. He's been volunteering for minimally 10 years. It's probably longer than that, on our crisis line. And he comes twice a week reliably. And he communicates a week or two in advance if he's taking a vacation. And we know that if we have a need coming up later in the week, he's usually able to fit that into a schedule and help us cover our hotline when our staff, usually they're doing case management. They're talking about clients and how to better serve them and still trying to answer the crisis line. But having that reliable volunteer who can take over that crisis line so that our staff can really work on serving their clients is huge for us. And then knowing that if we have something that just comes up, maybe we get a huge donation of food or clothing that needs to be sorted through and taken care of. For staff members, it's take us 2 full days to do it because we're going to start the clothing here, and then we're going to get called over there, and then we're going to get distracted over here, and then we'll finally get back to it, and before you know it, it's the end of the day. Whereas a volunteer, it takes 2 hours.
Right.
It's done in a matter of hours. So if you're able to volunteer and set a regular schedule, that's huge, because then we know we can rely on you. We know that you'll be there, but it's not necessary either. I don't want to dissuade anybody. If you don't have time, you know, every week, every month to devote, just know that the more reliable you can be for an agency, the more value you're going to provide in the long run, but also the more value you're going to get out of it. Because you know when you're there, you know the work that you're going to be doing, and you know what that means for the staff that you're engaging with and the clients that you might engage with as well.
That's awesome to hear. And the lesson that I gained from listening to you talk about that is the reliability of the person being there is more beneficial maybe sometimes than necessarily the amount of time that the person might be there.
Yes.
And I think that's something, you know, when we talk about, you know, my next question is to, you know, what type of advice would you give someone who, you know, is kind of on the fence and, you know, should I not, you know, do I really have time, all that good stuff. And the fact that being reliable, it gives so much more value, you know, not necessarily thinking, we tend to think of this as like, okay, I put my time in, I did 10 hours this week, or I did 2 hours or whatever it might be. It's refreshing to hear. I think that's a great point for folks who are out there who are kind of thinking about, how do I get involved? What do I want to get involved in? That sort of thing. Looking at what you as the community member, volunteer, are willing to really kind of put your foot down and say, this is what I can commit, and being able reliably to do that is an awesome point. So sorry, I'm answering my own question.
No.
Out there. But when you said that, I'm just like, oh, I hadn't thought of that before our conversation. Like, that is, and I hear it in a lot of my community involvement out there, is just being sure that I know that you're going to be there when you say they're going to be there is so important to that. I want you to back away from what we've been talking about, your agency and some of that stuff. Because I know Lindsay, the person who's always out there and involved, you know, with all of your community involvement, not just with your agency, but what's like a key lesson that you've gained by just being involved in something within your community? What's one thing, what's it added to your life?
That is a big one. I mean, how to engage with people, how to work with people, because when you're in community groups, there's people of all types there.
Yeah.
I've been in Lions Clubs, which are largely male. I've been in Rotary, which for some reason is largely retirees, and some working professionals. I've been in young professionals groups. So I've kind of seen the gamut of all the people that you can work with, and everybody's different, and everybody has a, even within the groups, has a different way of how they want to operate. So you learn a lot about how to meet people where they are and talk to them the way that they want to be talked to. Not in any sort of ingenuine type of way either, just in a way that makes it easier to engage and to be friends and, yes, create that professional relationship. But on the back end, like, I want to know that if I run into you out in the wild, like, personally, we're going to relate on some level and be able to engage with each other. And you also learn a lot about how to handle adverse relationships, adverse encounters with people, because you're not always going to be, if you're the new person in the group, you might not be respected immediately. And maybe that's what you're accustomed to at work or at home, but you have to kind of work your way up in the ranks, and you learn how to, you know, be humble.
Yeah.
You learn how to just kind of take your lumps, and it just shapes you more as a person.
Yeah.
And you also learn how to say no. That's important. That's probably one of the hardest things to learn when you have a service type of heart, and that's the person that you are. You want to be out there and you want to be involved. I had a lot of experiences, like fresh out of college in my first professional role, starting to get involved in the community. I had lots of ideas. I had lots of energy to do it. Sure. And everybody saw that and said, well, do you want to lead this committee? Or all of a sudden, without having agreed to it, I am leading a committee and I didn't know that it happened. And that's happened several times to me throughout the years.
Like an alumni board presidency? Or
somehow got an officer position without even realizing.
That's
awesome. Get a brand new name tag that tells me I'm doing something now. And that's something to really keep in mind for people that want to volunteer. It's easy to want to keep saying yes, but you do have to have your boundaries. You do have to know what you're capable of doing, because if you're only able to put half effort to it, is it really benefiting you or the agency that you're working with? And so being involved in the community, you learn how to engage with people and sum it all up and, you know, meet people where they are, but also how to say no. That one is...
That's huge.
That one's been huge in my life. To be able to take a step back and say, this is not what I want to do. I'm happy to serve, just not in this role. Is there something else I can help you with?
That's awesome. I love that. I didn't think of that when we were, you know, discussing this topic in some of those. For me, the involvement in the community, the beyond, you know, I consider myself very, very lucky. And I think you are as well. We found roles and positions and organizations that we're, I don't want to say born for, but we're just super excited to do the work, right?
We can't imagine doing anything else.
Exactly. Yeah. I find that my community service, the coaching of the sports and some of the things that I've done in the community around, what I gain out of that is I can't believe I'm paid to do what I'm doing for my career. And then I go out and I volunteer or I'm part of that community and I get to see the impact, and that's my payment. Mm-hmm. Like now I'm seeing beyond just the sustaining life and having, you know, a career option. I'm seeing value added outside of my normal scope of the day. And so it's that intrinsic, you know, the butterflies, the happy-go-lucky, the things that you can't verbalize easily, but seeing the impact just really, really helps.
Those are the warm fuzzies.
Warm fuzzies.
And
Thank you.
It provides so much. I learned that from Alternative Breaks. Shout out to Alternative Breaks for the warm fuzzies. But it adds so much value to your life when you can go out and volunteer for the things that maybe you love it, but you don't know how to monetize it for a regular everyday job. Like, I love cats. I would love to pet cats all day. Can't do that to keep my family going and have that as my career, but I can go and volunteer at the cat shelter in Frankenmuth that is run by an SVSU alum. And that's one thing I'm going to be looking into soon is getting to volunteer there. And, you know, just anything that you've ever thought about trying or wanting to do, or a group of people in your life that you'd love to benefit in some way. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty of volunteering. You can go do it once and decide it's not for you, and that's okay. We're okay with that. We see so many volunteers that are interested and never follow through, and that's okay. We're happy that you found us. We're happy that you're excited about this issue. Do what works for you. And just add to your life. It adds so much value to be involved in the community and see the impact that agencies are doing, that individuals are doing, and how that just makes everything a better place.
You know, you said something, and I had to jot the note down. You said something early on about part of your role in your organization is the education. I feel like if somebody comes to you and is really gung-ho and wants to volunteer, and they go through the training and they get to that crisis hotline and they just can't do it, right? They're still gaining a great experience. They're going to be somebody who's educated on that topic and issue and is going to be an advocate for you out in their community as well. So there really is no downside in putting yourself out there.
No, there's not. Because I can talk till I'm blue in the face. I do about the work that we do and just all the facts, the figures and everything. Sure. But when we have organic people out there talking about the work that we're doing and say, did you know about the Women's Center? Did you know that they have a shelter there? Have you heard about this, that, or the other thing? Like, that is huge for us. Like, that whole grassroots, everybody spreading the message, that means more. I can go and speak to an auditorium filled with people and maybe impact two people who are actually paying attention to me that day.
Right.
But there might be one volunteer who was interested, came and take a tour and took what they learned and talked to five of their friends and family who are now just as invested as they are. Like, there's so much value to just learning. Right. If you're interested in something, just go learn about it and then talk about it. For heaven's sake, talk about it. We need to have these conversations.
It's amazing. Okay, we're getting to the end. Sorry, we got to do the last question. It's become kind of a, I don't want to say superstition, but it's been our thing. I want you to picture the alum out there, somebody just a couple years out of college. They're out, they got the first job, they're working, and they say, you know, something's missing. I want to get involved in my community. What would be the one, only one, sorry, I'm going to hold you to it. Mm. What would be the one big piece of advice that you would want to give that SVSU alumni out there? Tough, isn't it?
It's really tough, but I would say to find your fit. And one of the best avenues to do that is to find a community group, like a service group that you have learned about in your past that you agree with the work that they're doing, because then that connects you to bigger parts of the community that maybe you didn't even know existed and needed help. Because those groups like Lions, Rotary, Kiwanis, they're involved in everything in the community. Sure. And if you want to be involved and don't know where to start, join one of those groups and they will help you find your fit. And maybe it's not with that group. Maybe you're there for a year and then you find an agency that you want to volunteer with, and that's perfectly okay. But that's kind of where I started. Mm-hmm. I started in a Lions Club in Sault Ste. Marie, and it just kind of grew from there. But starting there and seeing what needs they identified in the community really helped me figure out, you know, what other places I wanted to be involved.
That's awesome. I appreciate it. You know, if you're out there and you're an alum and you're kind of saying, well, I don't know where my fit is, one thing that our alumni relations office is always willing to do and help. If you have questions, reach out to us. Send us an email at alumni@svsu.edu. Give the office a call. We'd love to talk to you. We host quarterly volunteer events. We got a lot. We have, speaking of networking, we have an amazing network of alumni out there. Folks like Lindsay that we know about and can connect you with whomever it might be. So let us be your resource out there in helping you get involved in your community. We're going to have a lot more opportunities coming up through our office. I don't want to give away too much, but we're working on some plans. We're working on some plans for alumni to come out and help more here in the SVSU community and in our region at whole. But with that, Lindsay, I just want to say thank you. This was awesome. I learned a lot. I thought I knew a lot. I was like, oh, this is a topic I know a lot. And then I get here and there's like four or five big revelations there. So I appreciate your time, your efforts. I appreciate what you do in our community, most importantly. And for those of you out there, thank you for listening to the Cardinal Stand Out podcast. Remember, we love it when you stand out in your community. So if we can help in any way, let us know. It's a great day to be Cardinal. Thank you.
Thank you.